With you.
Tonight we celebrate the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed. We celebrate the Thursday, where he instituted a memorial in a meal for those who would follow him. And it's more than just a meal, as we'll talk about during the sermon. Tonight will be a little different than in the past, where we had a very in-depth stripping of the altar. It'll be somewhat abbreviated, but it still will be respectful. And tonight when we leave, we will leave quietly, just like tomorrow we'll leave quietly. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be worshiping with you. And if you would please stand, if you're able, we'll get started with our service. Tonight, let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you as our... sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your way, in the glory of your holy name. Amen. Now, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good evening. First reading this evening is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 3 through 11, and this can be found on page 125 in the Pew Bible. Exodus 24, beginning with the third verse. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the Book of the Covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like the pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The second reading this evening is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 16 through 17, and this can be found on page 1782 in the Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with the 16th verse. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks our participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you please stand if you're able? Tonight's gospel comes from St. Mark, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark 14, verses 12 through 26 can be found on page 1579 in your Pew Bible. Mark records, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples left, and they went into the city, and they found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Mercy is not exactly a word that we hear or use every day. If you were walking on the pier at Huntington Beach and you heard somebody exclaim, "Lord, have mercy," you might see more than a few people turn to see just what kind of person would say such a thing in public. Now, on the other hand, we say it in this church all the time. We say, "Lord, have mercy upon us," or, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." That was good soup. Stay with me. "Lord, in your mercy, amen." So, when we use these words, we echo the blind men. The stories of the blind men who came to Jesus to receive their sight. We read that in Matthew 9, and again on another occasion in Luke chapter 18. We all come, every one of us, into this world with spiritual blindness because of sin, our sin. And when we praise God with a cry for mercy, we ask him to forgive, number one, our sin, and number two, to restore our spiritual sight. Now, when we come to God for mercy, we are confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is our Lord because we belong to him. We are bought and paid for with his blood, ransomed and redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness to live under him in his kingdom of light. So the words, Lord, have mercy on us, they are both praise and they are prayer, acclamation and petition. And with these words, we welcome him, we confess him as Lord, and we pray for his gracious help. Now, you already know this, but you have come to the right place at the right time tonight to welcome Jesus as he comes in both word and sacrament. We have come to the right place to receive his mercy, and he has plenty of it to give to us. And on this special night, we remember how he gave his mercy to his beloved church in a very, well, in an exceptional way. And tonight we remember the night that Christ founded the sacrament of the altar, in which he feeds us with his broken body, and he gives us his holy, precious blood to drink. This night, then, is the beginning of the last phase of our deliverance, the beginning of our 3-day journey with Jesus. We go from his arrest in the garden to Pilate's judgment hall, then to the place of the skull, through to his cross and death, and then to his glorious resurrection. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Day. You know, it sounds like 4 days, doesn't it? But by biblical reckoning, it is really only 3 days. For we know that the Jews begin each day at the setting of the sun, and anything that happens after sundown is part of the next day. So then by that calculation, then it is a 3-day journey we commence this Monday, Thursday evening. By that calculation then, it is the beginning of the day that would end in our Savior's death. And it all started with a meal. We have heard the words so often. Perhaps some of you can recite them in your sleep. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And in a few minutes, we will once again approach the altar and receive with our mouths the very bread of heaven. And under this earthly bread that we break and the cup that we bless, we will eat and we will drink the flesh and the blood of Jesus. And when we do, we will follow his last will and testament when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Luke 22:19. In this sacrament, the Lamb of God has left us a memorial of his mercy. It's a memorial far, far different than any other. If we were to go and visit the great battlefields of the world, we would find elaborate monuments to celebrate the valor and the sacrifice of the soldiers who died there. Were you to visit the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., you would be dwarfed by an impressive image of the great emancipator. But these are all memorials to the dead. Now contrast this. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb who was once slain, but is now alive forever. And the memorial that he instituted is not a monument, but it's a meal. And in this eating and in this drinking, we actively recall, we recite, and we rehearse His saving mercy. Now, some people think, they might ask, well, what good is that? Give me something I can use, Jesus. They might say, I could use some pointers on how to get along in this world. I could use some advice on how to be happy and successful. I could use some instructions on how to find my way through the confusion and turmoil since my life has become a mess. But mercy? What good is that? And that is our problem. Well, it is one of our problems. You see, God sends us His gifts. And we have a tendency that we keep trying to mark them return to sender, or want to take them back ourselves and exchange them for something that perhaps we like better. Is there anything that is better than mercy? Can you think of anything better than His mercy? It is in His mercy that God opens up His heart to the world. He's sending forth the pure and holy Lamb of God to be slaughtered in our place. With His mercy, it is His mercy in action that we see Jesus on that cross. And as a result of His mercy, you and I do not receive the penalty that we deserve. Instead, God's own Son took it upon Himself. That is the gift. That gift is Jesus and His death. That is mercy. This gift is at the heart of the New Testament meal, the sacrament of the altar. And again, talk about being in the right place, at the right time, for the right table, for the right meal. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that there have been memorial meals before this one. We've read about them. The night that Jesus was betrayed, He gathered in that upper room with His disciples to commemorate the exodus of God's people Israel from the slavery that they had under Pharaoh. It was the Lord's Passover. We know that God had given elaborate instructions to His people for the preparation of this feast. And the entree was lamb. But not just any ordinary lamb. A lamb that was without blemish or defect. That was God's instructions. And so every time they ate that meal, the Israelites ate it in remembrance of the Lord and His mercy. It was a meal full of hope, full of promise, but hope and promise under the very threat of death. You know, that first night in Egypt when God set His people free, it was in the midst of imminent danger, wasn't it? For we know in every household in Egypt, the firstborn of man and beast would die. Except where the blood of a sacrificial lamb marked the door. And at those houses, the deadly plague passed over, sparing all who were within. So on that night of their deliverance, God's people Israel ate that first Passover with mixed emotions, with gratitude for sure, and joy, but tinged with dread, for the angel of death was passing overhead. Imagine a banquet given in your honor, but with small arm fire whizzing past and cracking over your head. These people knew that they had received mercy. They had been miraculously delivered from sure and certain death. This then was Israel's Passover, the Old Testament sacramental meal of deliverance. And in that meal, God's people dined on the body of the very animal that gave them life by dying in their place. It was a communion of sorts, a communion in the body that died to save. Now, in the meal that we will eat tonight, there is a communion as well. But it is a communion of a living body, the body of the Lamb of God, who has mercy on us. You see, Jesus intervened to rescue us from slavery to sin and to death. And he became a curse for us and died upon the cross, giving his body and shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. Now you will receive a Passover meal tonight that delivers you your own portion of the Lamb's blood that paints you from the inside, that saves you from sin, death, and the devil, and it gives you eternal life. Once again, talk about being in the right place at the right time with exactly the right meal. Thank you, Jesus. And as Israel once dined on the flesh that revealed God's mercy and gave them life or death, so the church continually dines on the flesh and the blood that rescued us once and for all. We do this every Sunday because Jesus tells us to. On this Monday, Command Thursday, he tells us, do this in remembrance of me. Now, St. Paul drives this home when he calls the Lord Jesus our Passover Lamb. That's in the letter to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And those lambs who gave their lives as the antidote to death in Egypt were only a dress rehearsal for the real thing. And at the cross, we know that the true Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, gave his body and he shed his blood as a ransom price for the entire world. And so, tonight at the Lord's table, you and I are given yet again a front row seat in the great drama that won our salvation. There's that old song that asks, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" It is a sweet thought, but it must remain forever figurative. For the plain fact is that you and I weren't there, and we can't go to the cross. But tonight, the cross comes to us. And while we cannot go to Jesus, he comes to us. He comes to us first in our baptism, and now repeatedly every Sunday, he comes to us in his Holy Supper. The Lamb who shed his blood that we might live says to us, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." In this sacred memorial meal, he does more than ask us to remember him. He himself actively recalls and gives us once again the fruits of his love and all of the benefits of his saving death, as he says to us, "Take, eat, this is my body, which was given for you." And those two little words, "for you," bring us confidence and consolation in this hour. For God's love is no shadowy abstraction or some warm, fuzzy feeling. It is real. And now sin, death, and hell have been overcome since Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Now we may know for certain that we are not alone in this world, that all the burdens and sorrows of life that threaten to overwhelm us can never rob us of the love of God in Christ our Lord. His love, you see, His love is big enough to include the whole sorrowing, hurting world. But it is precise enough. His love is personal enough to address each and every one of us individually. God's love is not a generic to whom it may concern. No, His love is for you, where you are, wherever you are. And talk about being in the right place at the right time with the right God. In this supper, the Lord of heaven and earth hands you His love on a platter. He doesn't give you a symbol or an emblem of His love, but the true substance of His love. The very flesh once offered on the cross, the perfect lamb without blemish or spot, who freely laid down His life so that you might live. His is a love that you can sink your teeth into in this supper. His blood, which cleanses you from all sin, He gives you to drink in His cup of salvation. Mercy. That is what we need. And that is exactly what the Lamb of God brings to us. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. That's Paul to the church in Corinth again. So be at peace this night. Death and destruction may loom and lurk on every side, but everything that troubles you and all that robs you of your happy is eclipsed tonight in this banquet feast of love. Tonight, heaven intersects with earth at this altar. And in this eating and drinking, we have a foretaste of the feast to come, the wedding banquet of the Lamb and His beloved bride. Jesus promised in Revelation, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen, we respond. "Come, Lord Jesus," we reply. "Come soon. Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus. Amen." Would you please stand as we confess our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and our salvation He came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people in accordance to their needs. Tonight's response is, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, by your righteousness, deliver our souls, which are precious in your sight. Embolden our hearts to pray, confident that Christ prays with us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as the institution of your New Testament is celebrated this day among all peoples, make your saving power known throughout the earth. Grant that those who boast in the sacrificial gift of Christ share with the world he came to bless. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have formed us after the pattern of Christ's humble service. Help us in our vocations to follow his example of self-sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God of Israel, we rally to your altar in the wilderness of this world. Hear our prayers for all who are sick. Refresh them in their suffering. Comfort them with your word, and nourish them in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, we welcome the elders of Israel to eat and drink with you, and did not lay your hand on them. You welcome us to your altar to eat and drink our Lord's Supper. Do not lay your hand on us, but count us worthy to receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gather us, Heavenly King, around your Son's altar and throne with angels and saints. Bless our fellowship on earth, that at length we come to share this feast in eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. It is into your hands, O Lord, that we commend ourselves, our bodies, our souls, and all things. Redeem us, O Lord, faithful God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Will you pray with me? Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on the tree of the cross gave salvation to all, that where death began, their life might be restored, and that he who by a tree once overcame might be a tree be overcome. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks, and then he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we drink of this, or eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight we will do our communion by intinction. And you can come. The usher will bring you forward. You line up, and Pam's going to help me out with this. Thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this healing gift. And we pray that through it you would graciously strengthen us in faith toward you and in love toward one another. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his faithful people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. And in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord.